Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 19, 2024. Joel.
All right, before we get started, we have a couple of things. First of all, today is Irene's birthday. Now, you know her as Irene. Her name in the Greek is Irene, which means peace, prosperity, and blessing. You are such a blessed guy, Jerry, to be married to peace, prosperity, and blessing. That's your wife. Phenomenal. Now, Jerry in the Greek, we can't tell you what that means. And today is the day to fill out your bracket for Upland Bible Church March Madness. Out in the hallway, on the table out there, they have the brackets. Pick one up, fill it out. And also the instructions there, I'll go over it again. Fill out your bracket completely. And here's the big one, put your name on it. Otherwise, you fill it out, I'll put my name on it. Put your name on it, that's important. Fill it out completely every year. Several of you, I don't know if it's eye problems or what, you have some blank spaces on your bracket. And if you have a blank there, it's hard for your team to win. You won't win. So fill your bracket out. Make sure you filled it out completely. And then you'll see right in this part right here, the red square. And that's where in the championship game, you don't have to pick the winner, but in the championship game, you put down the total points. The total points that will both of the two teams, put that in there. If there happens to be a tie, this will be the tiebreaker. All right? That's why you put the total points in that red box. That'll be the tiebreaker. Entry fee is $50. 50. No bitcoins. And we have people from other parts of the country, they Xerox off $50 bill and send it to me on a piece of paper. That one won't work either. You take them today, fill them out tonight, bring them back tomorrow. They have to come back. I got to have them tomorrow. Now, it'd be nice to be able to turn it in Sunday after they've played all of the games in the first round. I know that would really be a nice way to do it. But if you do, that's what happened to that one. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. We are in a special, in your Bibles, it's the last paragraph, Joel 2, 28 to 32, but it was considered so awesome and so unique that in the Hebrew Bible they made it a whole separate chapter all by itself. And in the Hebrew Bible it's Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, because it's very, very the most unique prophetical passage in the Old Testament scriptures, and therefore they gave it a special chapter. But that's where we are, Joel 2:28-32. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, as we are witnessing the wheels coming off the wagon, as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy all over planet Earth, as we witness our own nation, which currently is the client nation to God, in apostasy and degeneracy. We thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And also, as we witness the satanic attack on Israel and Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. We thank you, sir, that in the United States there's hope because we're still here. There's time for this nation to turn back to you, sir, and to your word. And we pray that they will see the importance of not only you, sir, but the word of God to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey report our gaping vulnerability. We live in days of peril. It's as if someone put a special door in the Pentagon along with a sign that says, "Terrorists enter here." They have their own entrance at the White House, too. And at your house. It started in the first half of the 20th century when many of the world's elite believed that improved communications technology might finally bring an end to war. Now, the passage we're studying says that that is all a total lie, satanic lie. Man will not produce world peace on this earth. There will not be world peace on planet Earth until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. Man will not produce world peace. We are living in a time right now where people are wanting peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that's what we are studying. That's going to not only happening at the end of the church age, that happens in the tribulation period. Peace, peace when there is no peace. In the 1930s, H.G. Wells predicted that something he called a world brain would help bring peace on the earth. Even earlier in a 1926 interview with Collier's Magazine, Nikola Tesla said, quote, "When wireless is perfectly applied, the whole earth will be converted into a huge brain. Not only this, but through television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face, despite intervening distances of thousands of miles. And the instruments through which we shall be able to do this will be amazingly simple compared with our present telephone. A man will be able to carry one of these in his vest pocket." Belgian peace activist Paul Otlet predicted complete connectedness. He believed individual human beings would be assimilated into a world brain and through it achieve a kind of godhood. He wrote, quote, "Man would no longer need documentation if he were assimilated into a being that has become omniscient in the manner of God Himself." As the years have passed, we still have not achieved many of the things people predicted for the future. We have only prototypes of flying cars. We don't have giant space station hotels orbiting the Earth or Earth colonies on distant planets. But we do have supercomputers in our pockets. And you're stupid if you don't realize that the government knows everything about you on that supercomputer in your pocket. I don't have one. I wouldn't have one. Don't give me one for a Christmas present or a birthday present. I just throw it back. The government and the world knows everything about you through your supercomputer in your pocket. The most important thing about today's computers, whether giant server farms or lowly smartphones, is not their processing power. It is the thing foreseen by Tesla. It is connectivity. Together, in a very real sense, they form a world brain. Their connectedness provides amazing levels of convenience in our lives. I see a lot of you can't even come to church without having one and then messing around with it in Bible class. What the hell is that? You're here to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Their connectedness provides amazing levels of convenience in our lives, but it also represents one of the gravest, most immediate threats ever faced by civilization. Hackers regularly hold banks, hospitals, corporations, schools, and government agencies hostage. The hackers sometimes lock away data so that an institution can't even open its files. In a hospital, or law enforcement agency. This can be deadly. And this is going on in hospitals in the United States of America right now. At other times, they steal private data that might be embarrassing, damaging, or even something that could lead to war. We recently saw the government of Fulton County, Georgia, suffering from both of these kinds of attacks. The hackers compromised systems used by county officials and residents, and they threatened to release damaging information unless the county gave in to their demands for a massive ransom payout. But the dangers of computer vulnerability get much worse. Supply chains that bring essential goods to your grocery store and life-sustaining pharmaceuticals to your drugstore are connected and vulnerable. The power grids of all the nations are computerized and internet connected. That makes them vulnerable to cyber attacks. The potential damage done by a sustained power outage over half the United States is incalculable. But the threat is real. Even more important, every level of national defense has some dependence on connected computers. If you are trusting in science for your security, you may be beginning to see the unsoundness of that position. Computer vulnerabilities are just one area where modern societies stand on the brink of disaster. Now is the time to put your trust in God. The concerns I express here may not come to fruition, but you will die apart from the rapture. You will die one day, and you will stand before God. You'll either stand before God as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ, or you'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment, but you will stand before God. Every member of the human race will stand before God. Now you, most of you, if not all of you, have believed in Christ as your Savior. You'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll either stand there with great confidence as a winner believer or with great shame and regrets as a loser believer. Christ died for you. Put your trust in Him and in His grace. Put your life in His hands. When you are His, He will say to you the same thing He said to a man named Joshua long ago as he entered a time of severe danger. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, I read this and I said, this is exactly what I was teaching in Joel. course, only the ones who come here. We have a lot of no-shows. Joel chapter 2. In verses 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality, great ecstatics. Joel 2, 30 and 31 tells us when this will take place. And then Joel 2, 32 gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. This is a great prophetical passage that is looking forward to the millennial kingdom, the golden age of the millennium. It is not referring to the church age. The church age is mysterion, a mystery. It wasn't known about in Old Testament times. So even though this passage is quoted by Peter in Acts 2, 17 to 21, that does not mean that the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this passage. The day of Pentecost and the church age is not the fulfillment of this passage. Rather, the day of the Lord, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, and the establishment of His kingdom, the millennium, that is the fulfillment of this passage. The day of the Lord includes three parts. Part one is the tribulation period, which is also known as the 70th week of Daniel. It is 7 years in length. It will start when the church age comes to a conclusion. The church age ends with the rapture, and with that begins the beginning of the day of the Lord and the tribulation. The second part is the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. And the third part is the establishment of His kingdom on the earth. Now, the second advent of Christ to the earth has two parts. The second advent of Christ has, first of all, Jesus Christ administering the baptism of fire. When Jesus Christ comes back, He administers the baptism of fire, and every unbeliever on planet Earth is destroyed. That's the first part of the second advent of Jesus Christ. Every unbeliever is destroyed and removed from the planet Earth. And then part two is the Lord Jesus Christ establishing the golden age on planet Earth and rescuing, delivering the believers who survive the tribulation. They all go into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom starts with believers only. So God has promised in the prophetic scriptures that a golden age is coming. The millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David, ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem. This golden age will be a time of perfect environment. It will be a time when war and famine and flood and disease will cease. This golden age will be a time of world peace. This golden age will not be brought about by man, by your supercomputers making a world brain, but only by the Lord Jesus Christ at His second advent, the day of the Lord. This golden age is called the millennium. And it refers to a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. A wedding celebration of 1,000 years, because when he comes back at the second advent, he brings his bride with him. And we are the bride. We come back as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a 1,000-year marriage supper of the Lamb in the millennial kingdom. 1,000-year celebration. And then we start out with, by way of introduction, and we had 6 points, and after 6 points, we stopped. But we'll pick it up at point 7 tonight. The cry of our times is peace. Peace. Men are looking for peace and for security. They want job security. They want health security. They want life security. People today want to put an end to war. They want universal peace to prevail. So last week we ended with 6 points. Point one, today the reversionist is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace. And we saw that in Ezekiel 13, 8 to 10. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the false prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. And then Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, they all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, and which is saying, they have alleged to solve the problems of my people, but they have not. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. In Jeremiah 8, verses 10 and 11, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. In other words, again, they allege to solve the problems of my people. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And then 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, that's the first half of the tribulation. Destruction will come on them suddenly. As that's the last half of the tribulation, last 3.5 years, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And then point two, we noted that those under the leadership of the Antichrist will be promoting peace and safety during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. With the influence of the great prostitute ecumenical religion, But sudden destruction will come upon them. The last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation, when the Antichrist enters the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God and demands that the worship, that the world worship him as God. And that's when there will be great. He will go all throughout the world to try to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth and every Christian from the face of the earth. There will be multitudes and multitudes of martyrs, Christian martyrs, who are beheaded because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But there will be, when Christ comes back, a remnant that is rescued by Jesus Christ. Believers only enter the millennial kingdom. All unbelievers are destroyed through the baptism of fire. And then point three, there will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling on this earth in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And then point four, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars and rumors of wars, hot wars and cold wars, but there will be no world peace. Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew 24, 3 to 21. Point 5, world peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling on planet Earth in the millennial kingdom, following his second advent, Micah chapter 4, verse 3. And then point 6, the millennial reign of Christ is clearly taught in Revelation chapter 20, and we went through and studied that. Now that brings us to point 7. We are living in the dispensation of the church age. The church age began at Pentecost, and it will conclude with the rapture. The next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture, the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God. Point 8. The conclusion of the church age at the rapture is followed by the day of the Lord. First of all, the 7-year tribulation. Then the second advent, which concludes the tribulation. And then the millennial kingdom. So the conclusion of the church age at the rapture is followed by the day of the Lord. 9. The rapture is imminent. It is signless and timeless. But it is prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58. And we have studied both of these passages. So with a sweep of the pen, Joel transports the reader to the time of Christ's second coming to the earth. Joel 2:28-32. And he enumerates many of the spiritual blessings to be experienced by all believers. Now, how do we know that this passage projects us into the kingdom age? The dispensation of the millennial kingdom. Well, in our verse 28, we have, after this is the key. It refers to the time of the millennium. This same phrase is found in Hosea 3, verse 5. In Hosea 3, 1 and 2, Hosea mentions Israel's past. In Hosea 3, 3 and 4, he mentions Israel's present. But in Hosea 3, verse 5, he introduces the millennial kingdom by using the word afterward. after this, afterward. Also, the spiritual events of this section transcend Joel's day and will only be fulfilled during the second advent and millennial reign of Christ on the earth. So Joel 2, verses 28 to 32 describes three great spiritual experiences to be enjoyed by Israel. The coming of the Lord, verses 30 and 31. The condition for entering the millennial kingdom, which is salvation, verse 32. And the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on every person on planet earth, which is all believers. On all believers, verses 28 and 29. There are only believers on planet earth when the millennial kingdom starts. So we have in Joel 2:28 the unique ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the millennium. This is totally unique. Joel 2:28. Well, we always start out with the thundering diction of the King James. And it shall come to pass afterward. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the verb hayah, plus the construct of the preposition acher, joined by a makef to the adverb kain. The vav, well, this like vav is like the kai in the Greek. Vav. The vav here is a conversive vav. Now, you don't have that in the Greek, but you have this in the Hebrew. A conversive vav will convert. If you have an imperfect, it converts it to a perfect. If you have a perfect, it converts it to an imperfect. That is the conversive vav. And that's what we have here. It converts the perfect here into an imperfect. The imperfect of hayah functions as a future tense, and therefore it is predicting some very important concepts of the day of the Lord. And then the verb hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. Hayah. Now, hayah is the Hebrew to be verb. It literally means to fall out, to come to pass, to become, to be. Here in our verse, it means to come about or to come to pass. And then the preposition acher. Aleph, A, C, H, A, R, acher. And acher is joined to the adverb kain. So we have acher and then it's joined to kain, which looks like that, K-E-N, kain. And acher followed by kain literally means after so, but it is a Hebrew idiom and is translated afterwards, afterwards, or after this. And it will come about after this. That's the corrected translation. And it will come about after this. One, after this means after the tribulation period. And it will come about after this. After this means after the tribulation period. Two, it means after the military invasion of the king of the north, the kings of the east, Pan-Arabic bloc, and the revived Roman Empire, all assembling in the Valley of Megiddo. Rather interesting. Napoleon looked at that Valley of Megiddo and he said all the armies of the world could assemble in the Valley of Megiddo. Well, they will. The king of the north, Russia, the kings of the east, communist China, Pan-Arabic bloc coming up from the south, and then the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist. 3, it means after the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years of the age of Israel is completed. It means after the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years of the age of Israel is completed. 4, in verses 28 and 29, it refers to after the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. So in verses 28 and 29, it refers to after the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This is the cal imperfect of the verb shafak with the first person singular subject plus the direct object marker F joined by a makef to the noun ruach with the first person singular suffix. Sorry about those in the front row. But if you're going to pronounce this like a Jew, it would be ruach. The preposition now, for those of you who don't have a sense of humor, next time find another church. Find another church and just go ahead and go and stay home. But you're wasting my time and yours as well. So we have ruach plus the preposition al joined by a makef to the noun kol, which is joined by a makef to the noun basar. Shafak is the verb. S-H-A-P-H-A-K. Shafak. And shafak is the verb that means to pour or to pour out. The imperfect tense has the force of a predictive future. This makes a simple statement that something will come to pass in the future. Specifically, the millennial kingdom will be a time when there is a great pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all mankind. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all millennial believers ushers in a new and unique ministry in the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. A new and unique ministry of God the Holy Spirit that has never happened before any time in human history. The first person singular subject, I, refers to God the Father. The Father will do the pouring. The Father will send the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, to accomplish a new and spectacular ministry in the millennial kingdom. So the corrected translation is, and it shall come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out. And then we have the direct object marker, F. They never have this in English. In English grammar, they never had a marker to say this is the direct object. But they did in Hebrew. The direct object marker, F, it's not translatable. It simply serves to point out for us what the direct object of the verb shafak is. So F introduces what God the Father is going to pour out. And in this case, whom he is going to pour out. And then F is joined by a makef to the noun ruach. R-U-A-C-H. Ruach. And ruach means spirit, and here refers specifically to God the Holy Spirit First person singular suffix, my. And it has the force of a genitive of relationship. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. The first and third persons of the Trinity. And then the preposition al. I-N-A-L, al. And al means on or upon. And then the noun kol. K-O-L, kol. And kol means all, the whole of, all. And then the noun basar. B-A-S-A-R, basar. And basar literally means flesh. And here refers to mankind. Corrected translation. And it shall come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. Not just a few. On all mankind. So, that phrase, al kol basar. That's how it looks in the Hebrew text. Al kol basar. Al kol basar. This phrase on all mankind is critically important. On all mankind. Two. This prophecy can only be fulfilled at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Because the millennium begins with believers only. This prophecy can only be fulfilled at the beginning of the millennial kingdom because the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Three. So, this was not fulfilled at Pentecost, where there were lots and lots of unbelievers. In fact, there were more unbelievers in the world than believers. So this was not fulfilled at Pentecost, where there were multitudes of unbelievers. Four. There are only three times in human history when everyone on planet Earth is a believer. Only three times in human history when everyone on planet Earth is a believer. The first, Adam and the woman in the garden. We went out to lunch with Randy. By the way, I thank you for all of your prayers for Randy. Randy and Dodie are the greatest winter believers like Don and Sue. And Randy is he is honoring and glorifying God in times of a great physical testing and cancer that he's going through. But he goes out. By the way, he had his second chemotherapy today, and he keeps expecting the worst, and every time he feels great afterward, he called up and said, let's go out to lunch again. Anyway, we're going out to lunch, and he likes listening to 60s music. And he said, there's a song that was supposed to, the song was titled In the Garden of Eden. But the guy who came to record it was so drunk, he sang, In a Garden of Eden. It was supposed to be a song in the Garden of Eden. Anyway, Randy said that, and then he laughed so hard, he cried at the table. He laughed so hard. Well, this isn't in a Garden of Eden. This is in the Garden of Eden. So Adam and the woman in the garden, that's one time. Second time is Noah and his family after the worldwide deluge, because after the worldwide deluge, all unbelievers were destroyed by water. All unbelievers were destroyed by water. And the only ones left were believers, Noah and his family. The third are those who enter the millennial kingdom following the tribulation and second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of Noah, all unbelievers were destroyed by water. At the second advent, all unbelievers are destroyed by the baptism of fire. By fire. So in Noah's day, they were all unbelievers destroyed by water. At the second advent, all unbelievers are destroyed by fire, the baptism of fire. Five. So once again, this prophecy cannot refer to the church age. Because when the church age began, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was not poured out on all mankind. It was not poured out on all mankind. Because most of the people on the earth at the day of Pentecost, most of them were unbelievers. So our corrected translation, and it shall come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And then, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is the Vav conversive, the conversive Vav, prefix to the cow perfect of the verb Nava, plus the plural of the noun Ben, with the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the plural of the noun bat. Let's see, the Hebrew, here's a case where the ladies are not called bats. In the Greek, you got goonie, and now you got bat. You could pronounce it bath, boff. With the second person plural feminine suffix. Nava. N-A-B-A, Olive. Nava. Now, those of you who have consistently and faithfully been assembling and learning from this pulpit, you've learned that the Old Testament scriptures are divided into three parts. The first part is the Torah, the first five books written by Moses, the Torah. The second part is called the Nevi'im, from Navi, prophet. And the Nevi'im is the plural of Navi, the prophets. And what do the Navi, what do they do? Nava. They prophesy. And then the third part of the Hebrew scriptures is the Ketuvim, from the Hebrew verb kathav, to write. So it's broken down in the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. Well, here we have Nava, to prophesy. And this prophesying in Joel 2, 28 and 29 is only done by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And it includes great ecstatics. It includes great ecstatics. The ones doing the prophesying are the Ben, B-E-N, Ben means son, in the plural, your sons. And then the ladies, Bat, we'll go boss. And that's in the plural, is your daughters. The Vav conversive converts the perfect of Nava into an imperfect, which once again has the force of a predictive future. So the corrected translation, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophesy with great ecstatics. And then it says, your old men shall dream dreams. This is the plural of the adjective zakein with the second person plural suffix plus the kal imperfect of the verb kalam plus the plural of the noun kalom. So the adjective zakein Z-A-Q-E-N, zakein. And zakein is an adjective that means old. When it's used as a substantive, a noun, as it is in our verse, then it means old men. We have in the plural, old man, in the plural, old men. And with the second person plural suffix, your old men. Your old men will kalam. C-H-A-L-A-M, kalam. And kalam means to dream. Sometimes it refers to ordinary dreams. Other times it means to dream dreams with prophetic meaning. And that's how it's used here. And then we have with it the noun kalom. Yeah. C-H-A-L long O-M. So they kalam, kalom. And kalom means a dream with prophetic meaning. It also includes great ecstatics. So, corrected translation, your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. And then your young men shall see visions. And this is the plural of the noun bachur with the second person plural masculine suffix plus the kal imperfect of the verb ra'ah plus the plural of the noun kitzayon. Bachur. B-A-C-H long U-R. Bakur means young man. This is a young man in the prime of manhood. Second person plural suffix, your young men. And then ra'ah. What will these young men do? They will ra'ah. R-A-Aleph-A-H. Ra'ah. Ra'ah means to see. The imperfect tense has the force of the predictive future. They will, this will come to pass in the millennial kingdom. And what will they see? Kithayon. C-H-I-Z, double Z. Z-Z-A-Y, long O-N. Kithayon. And that means visions in the ecstatic state. So verse 28. This has never, ever happened in the history of the world up to this point. It will in the millennial kingdom. And it will come about after this. I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. And your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. But he didn't done. He hadn't done it. Verse 28. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. And it can never happen until the millennium. Because you see, right now, Satan's the ruler of planet Earth. As long as he's the ruler of planet Earth, we have religion all over the world. And religion is a great evil. But when the millennium starts, Satan is in prison. There's no religion. There's no religion on planet Earth. Nobody be coming to your house on bicycles, knocking on your door. No religion, just the grace and truth of the Word of God. And people will, from all over planet Earth will go to Bible conferences in Jerusalem with the Son of David, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, holding a great Bible teaching. And that will happen again and again and again. Gentile nations from all over planet Earth will go to Jerusalem. And they'll be blessed by association with Israel and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're halfway through. We've got verse 28. And it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. But he goes on in verse 29, and that's where we'll start next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We pray, Father, and ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us, that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.